proper electricity and the system water and reservation. You'll be on the ground.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Buffalo Lake Singers. Thank you, Flag Racers. Mr. Amos Cook, Mr. Robert Sullivan, Mr. Harlan Nicol, and Mr. Paul Perry.
Bishop.
The request by Glenn Dean Wilson to come up here and offer a prayer for the day.
Turns out that there's two kinds of Becker Ishtar crowd types.
Yeah. What's yours?
Well, my father was Low German. And in High German, Becker means a baker.
Oh,
somebody who bakes.
I see.
But in Low German, they speak a different lingo, and Beck means a brook.
Beck
is a brook, a little stream. And a Becker would be somebody who lives by a little brook. He has his home there. So then you go over to Dakota. And you say, well, a brook that comes down from the hills and the water is a little stream and it's roaring and it's lapping. And so it's mini ichaha, see? And then you say, ichahada aki. By a little stream.
Yeah, I
mini
see.
Ichaha ichahada aki.
Okay.
Sort of up the creek, sort of, you know.
Yeah.
I get a kick out of that when I... I didn't know that when I was a kid, you know. I just accepted my name like all other kids. And then as I grew up...
So in India, there would be a... you said
Minichacha.
Minichacha.
Yeah, laughing water.
Right.
Minichacha ichahara.
Right.
Okay. When I was a kid, I didn't, you know, I didn't pay any attention to it. And then when I grew up, nobody who spoke German seemed to know the Low German dialect. And then finally, when I was in my 50s, my brother said, well, you know, Becker in Low German means somebody who dwells by a brook. And I says, oh, that can be translated into Dakota, so I do have a family name, Brook Dweller, or, you know, lives by laughing water. Sounds kind of picturesque, Hiawatha, lives by
there
laughing
you go.
Water. But I like up a creek.
Well, it sounds better.
Yeah, I like up a creek, though, because it kind of tells the story of my life.
Right.
Anybody who was a public school teacher for 35 years had to be up a creek.
There you go. Well, how are you doing this morning? See you out loading trash this morning.
Yeah.
Had to get your exercise, huh?
Oh, yeah. I feel pretty good considering. I didn't get much sleep.
Did you?
No.
How come?
Well, it's riding that motorcycle. You know, you strap that helmet on there so tight, and I got a headache.
What you need is somebody with you who is a masseuse or a chiropractor.
Yeah, rub it down.
Yeah.
You know. But don't get a bad if you're in my control cat.
You know, years ago when I was teaching in Chicago, I shared a room with a fellow by the name of Edison Kokendorfer. He was a German without a doubt, Edison Kokendorfer. And he had a degree in chemistry, but he also had a PhD in chiropractics, and he had an office in Maywood, Illinois. And he used to tell me, if you ever need an adjustment or anything, Becker, you let me know. I figured in my early 30s I'd never need an adjustment. So there was a plot of... There was a plot of ground out in our backyard that the former owner had used as a garden and had grown up in weeds. So I decided, well, geez, I'm going to work that over, that soil, real good, and then I'll level it out and I'll put on grass seed and I'll put that into lawns. So I worked at it and planted the grass. Several weeks went by and it was early June. And I looked out the kitchen window one day and that grass was out there all set to be cut. It was all uniform green and looked great. So I cut it off, and it was midday, And I looked at this grass and I said, you know, this grass wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And I just think I'm going to lay down in this grass under the shade of this great big old elm and look up at the sky and relax. Because I've earned this. So I laid down there. By God, I went to sleep. And I woke up several hours later and I couldn't get up. And I yelled to my wife, Vicki, help me. She was out in the kitchen. She came out and she pulled me to my feet. I twisted the muscles in my back. I chilled them and they rolled over. So I get into the house and I call Kolkendorfer and I went down and got an adjustment. You know, and he put me on the stretching machine with all the heating pads. And, oh, gee, I thought they were going to break me in two. But when I got out of there, I was feeling great, you know. Of course, I never laid on the grass again. The revenge of Paisley.
There you go.
Maybe the buffalo could do it, but not Becker.
Yeah, this is pretty good. Yeah, I could have some weirdos, you know.
Yeah, you never know, you know. Never know, just like you're lining yourself up for it.
A lot of goddamn times you don't know whether it's a dream or not or whether it's true.
Sometimes it can be very nightmarish.
Yeah, you're darn right. When the wife gets a dream, you know, like when by she dreams, she's laying down, you know, and then sees some ghost or something, or something was in the, they couldn't see it, but they could feel the presence, you know. She says, she tried to get up, she tried to yell, she says she couldn't do nothing, you know. So I have to hear her, you know, I'm laying there, and then I could hear her some trying to holler, you know, you just feel her body just by it, you know, and I took her and I got her up, and finally she comes awake, oh, I'm glad you did that. I tried to get up and call you, she says, but I couldn't do it, so she told me, she said, like, that was in an old house, she said, that house, we're just going to move in there, so I was going to go clean up. And I went in there, she says, and I felt that presence, when I felt that presence, and then it just froze me there, where I couldn't move, she says. I tried to call out for you, and I couldn't holler, and I couldn't move. She said, just like, it just kept me there. And I woke her up. She was still afraid. She didn't want to go back to sleep.
You know,
that's
I don't...